This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Gellums. Inside the Fine Arts Center Gallery on the University of Arkansas campus this month are nine paintings created by native Arkansan Terry Rowlett. The large works are influenced by his time growing up in and around Green Forest. But the oil on canvas paintings also owe a great deal to the Hudson River area of New York, where he spends part of his time now. Playful, yet sometimes just a bit foreboding, the paintings in the exhibit, At the Edge of Eden, do not let your eyes move away quickly. And people who spend more time examining the works are rewarded. Small details emerge. Birds, or an almost obscured skeleton, tell just a bit more of the story. Last week, Terry Rowlett met me at the Fine Arts Center Gallery on the U of A campus and gave me a tour of the nine works selected for the exhibit. He says his early exposure to the evangelical South continues to flex some influence on his work as well.
Definitely did grow up in it, and it's kind of probably going to be, well, it will be with me for the rest of my life, even though I've evolved spiritually away from it. It's still, you know, turning all the screws, you know, the awareness and whatnot.
When you say you grew up in it, the stories of the Bible, things like that?
Every Sunday was, you know, very much the old 1960s early version of evangelicalism, and lots of Bible study, lots of fear and brimstone and all that, yes.
The stories, especially the stories in the Old Testament, I grew up in rural Arkansas too, are ripe for visual depiction.
Yeah. Definitely the stories are visually rich and frightful and big and profound. And of course, there are the illustrated Bibles that probably were some of the first things I looked at. And I'm probably not too far off in that kind of format now with the look of my paintings.
A youth spent in the Arkansas Ozarks, a master's earned at the University of Georgia, and time spent in Italy studying the old masters all combines in Terry Rowlett's portraits, like that of a hunter, long dead, propped against a tree in the forest. This painting, it's a skeleton decked out in bright colors still gripping its rifle, is titled Hunter's Lament.
I really like this one. This one's brand new. I've got these two paintings here with people with rifles out in the woods. But this is definitely a hunter who has gone out into the woods and has probably died a year ago. And he's still clothed in his denim Levi pants, his hunting boots, and his nice wool red shirt. But he has turned into a skeleton. So it's kind of horrific, ghoulish, and funny at the same time when you look at this guy leaning against the tree with this almost ecstasy jaw, smile, smirk on his face. But just kind of making a statement about without mankind, maybe nature would do much better, because you have all these, I've got birds, I've got a mouse, I've got crows and deer, and they're all happily walking around and having a good life out there without the fear of the bushnail scope taking them out.
Crow has a bullet in its mouth.
Right.
It's picked it up.
Right. I kind of put that little hat in there. To me, this cheerful or sad hunter looks almost like a beggar. He's got his hat out in front. Or he could also be a holy man in the yoga position, an enlightened being at last. So the figure is symbolic of enlightenment or humility, with the hat out front. And I thought it would be nice to have the crow paying unto the hunter what is rightly his. And he's been gathering up shell casings throughout the woods, different calibers of gun, and he's stacking them methodically in the hat of the hunter as his payment. Just a strange little twist to put in there.
Terry Rowlett uses friends and acquaintances as models. His friend Jane is in two of the paintings in the exhibit. Close inspection of his work reveals Rowlett's detail for the human body, bones and flesh that look ready to move off the canvas and touch you.
They do take a long time, and since they are pretty realistic-looking images of real people that I generally know that I get to have as models, I don't need to insult them by making them too different than what they really look like. So I know when something's not right, and a lot of people that know anatomy and know good art would see a mistake. And it's embarrassing to send something out with a slight, lesser degree of finish in the hands or in the eyes or something. So they take a long time. I probably paint about 7 to 10 paintings a year. So it's a pretty slow process.
The works that are here in the gallery are large. Do you work standing up, looking at them, then back up to see what you have?
A lot of that. Sometimes a lot of sitting down. I have chairs on wheels. I have easels that move the pictures up and down. Without a doubt, you might work 30 minutes or an hour. Then you have to step way back. You have to take lunch breaks. You have to come back into the room and look at them. And it's just a real slow process of getting everything in harmony and having a more objective eye by turning it upside down, leaving it for a week. And I constantly look at the paintings while I'm working on them in a mirror. So you get a whole different, more objective look of the painting, and that will really startle me often with glaring mistakes when you look at something in the mirror. So if it works in the mirror, it's going to work with my own set of eyes and my own brain looking at it head on without a mirror.
And you mentioned upside down, you turn it upside down?
Yeah, you often do that for compositional reasons. You'll see where maybe you've weighted a picture a little too heavy in one corner or top or bottom. And by turning it upside down, you realize what you need to do to spread out the balance of the painting.
I doubt I'll ever see one of your paintings upside down.
No.
I probably won't see one in a mirror. So if I don't see them like that,
right,
why do you go to that effort?
You don't need to see them that way because I've suffered the process for you. And if I hadn't have done that, you would probably come in here and maybe feel a little uncomfort with the success of the pictures. You know, there just might be something a little imbalanced for you. And I think I have balanced them. I guess it would almost be like balancing a tire on a car or something. I'm sure it's a weird technique, but, you know, you want them to be balanced. And, the person who drives the car wants it to be balanced. The viewer needs these to be balanced.
Even if we don't consciously know that.
Exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't know that.
Terry Rowlett's painting, King of the Swimming Hole, will probably strike a chord with anybody who did grow up on the lakes and rivers of the Ozarks. Two young men are near the water. A young woman is swimming nearby. A keg sits in the background. But, as is the case with his other paintings, there is much more going on at this riverbank.
I grew up in this early 70s, and I think ever since I was a child, swimming in the local bluff, edged creeks here, that there was always the older boys and gals that were drinking beer and having a good time right beside the kids. So this is a fond memory, and it's still a lifestyle of mine. I love swimming out in the creeks, and probably started this one last year, finished it I think this year, but there's just some kind of majesty about these people out here swimming that almost beckons to King Arthur
or mythology.
Mythology, totally. Bacchus and a king and a queen and the hounds. And I just threw it in the keg of beer. I like to contemporize my images and kind of show us today where we kind of fit in the whole historical, pantheon of people.
Well, now this almost feels also, though, like a stage, because are those curtains on either side of the top?
Two big red drapes on each side, so it has kind of that fun feel of a window or a stage setting of a play. And I think the swinging rope almost feels like it's part of the theater where you would lower and raise the curtain, but these guys are obviously going to swing out. I don't think the curtains are there for them to see, but they're there for the viewer to see. It's called King of the Swimming Hole, and I have these two men, one sitting down, one standing up, and it's kind of a debate in my mind, and I hope it's a debate in the viewer's mind, which one of the guys is the king at this point of the swimming hole. And a little mystery. Which one do you think it is?
It's the fellow sitting, the more solemn. Yeah. I mean, this guy reminds me of like Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream or something.
Yes. Yeah. I think you got it right, but probably the king on the rock sitting down will probably one day relinquish his rock to Puck, and he will be the king.
And if people want to know more and see other images, they can go to your website.
They can go to my website, terryrowlett.com, and that's terryrowlett.com, and they can probably look at about 100 more paintings and see what they look like.
Terry, thanks for your time.
Thanks for the interview, and I'm glad to be back. I'm going to be in the Ozarks for the next month and doing a little canoeing maybe if it rains and some swimming.
Terry Rowlett's exhibit, At the Edge of Eden, can be viewed in the Fine Arts Center Gallery on the University of Arkansas campus through October 1st. A gallery talk and reception for the artist will take place Thursday, September 23rd, beginning at 5 p.m. at the gallery. To hear Terry Rowlett discuss the other works in the exhibit, you can go to our website, OzarksAtLarge.com.